White Network presents Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. Here's your host, Carolyn Yeager.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Saturday Afternoon after a one-week layoff for catch-up. I never catch up with much, but it is restful. Today, on July 6, 2013, I'm coming back with a bang with the supercharged Brad Love of Canada. And next week, if all goes as planned, it will be Günter Deckert from Germany. Now, I know there's a one-minute delay here, but I have there's a phone that is from Brad Love's area code that has been ringing for some time, but I cannot take a phone call before the show starts until after the music ends, which I told him. So if that's Brad needs to hang up and call again, because I don't know if I can take this call now. I'm not sure whether I can. Well, Tan is around, he says, so maybe I will go ahead and try to. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry to tell you that as I was speaking, my computer just died. It just turned off, and I guess I need a new computer. Strange things have been happening lately that never have happened and shouldn't happen. But I take it that you hear me now, and I'd like to get a message from Tan that everything is okay. Again, we have this one-minute delay, but perhaps anyway, I've got listeners still hanging on here. I'm getting my my page back up for with my notes on it. I've got everything seems to be working. I hope I can get some this phone though. This call there, it hung. It's gone now. So let's see. I'm trying to. Can't seem to open up. Oh, here it is. It's coming on. All right. Just a minute. I have to recover my documents. I'm very sorry. I'm not very good at talking while I have to do all this stuff. Why is it so slow? Recovery in progress. Well, everything is slow today. I did reboot my computer and I did turn off Skype. Okay, here it comes. And all that before the show, but it didn't do any good. Maybe it makes it worse. I don't know. But here is my page. Oh. Gosh. Tan says, I saw you disappear. I hear you now. Ow. And keep this, I keep getting these, you know, error reports and junk. I guess the sound is better. Everything is all right. Now let me get this back up. Now let me see if Brad Love will call in now. And as I'm waiting for him to call, it says there's an incoming call. It's not his number. It's from Canada, but I think that's it's not showing as a call. I'm not hearing it, so it's not being done right. Somebody's, I don't know who's messing around with this calling. So you have to call the, you can call now, as far as I know. All right, I was saying that, I wanted to say, as I started out, that I wanted to give a little news and announcement, so I will go ahead and do that and say that, you know, I did put out a request for translators and a translator of German to English. And I got zero response from my previous request, although I know that some listeners know both languages and or they claim they do. And I'm willing to pay if need be, but I can't pay high prices. So I'm trying to make available what I consider valuable information from Well, I see my sound level. I see I'm talking all right. Everybody's hearing me, so I'm still waiting, looking at the strange business with these phone calls. I interrupt myself. See how I do that? I understand that if a translator doesn't consider this information valuable, they wouldn't want to do it, but at the same time, it's not difficult material to translate. It's not like complicated intellectual work or very long sentences. So contact me at carolyn@carolynyager.net if you can help. Now, after I came back on the air, it showed this call, but it's up in the messages. So the call is in the messages twice, so I'm not sure if that is a problem or not. Let's see if I have anything more from Tan. No, he hasn't said anything more. Let me go back up here. It says there's an incoming call, but it's not in the right place. So I don't know if I should, it's not under callers. So I don't know if I should try to answer it or if that's why I went off the air last time. And I don't want to do that. So I don't know why it's up there in the Skype. And there's no number. There's a number. It's not showing up under callers. It's probably still hanging on. I don't know if it's just hanging on or if it's not there. I'm kind of afraid to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go. Can't do any harm. There is no call with that number. Okay, that's the old call. So the caller has to call in again. And that means Brad. He must be calling from somebody else's phone in his area code or a different phone than his cell phone. That's all I can figure out. He doesn't, you know, here's the thing about Brad. He doesn't have computer. He doesn't have email. He doesn't have Skype. I did call him about a half hour before the show to remind him about it. But there was nobody there at his phone number, and I left a message. So he's probably somewhere else and he can't hear the show. So he called and nobody answered. So, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about him? I can get here's something from Tan. Yeah, if you're a friend of Brad Love, I can always get my phone and call him, but I have to stop the show again. I mean, I have to go away and start dialing phone numbers and stuff. I'm not too good at that. So let's hope that he will get the message and call at now, which is when he should call. So anybody who knows him, please contact him if you have a number for him. This number, I'm going to give out this number. It's 780-972-6663. 780-972-6663. So that appears to be where he is at that number. So that's anybody wants to call that number and let him know that I'm ready for him to call in. Okay, you know, Brad Love is a fighter. And he's not even a white nationalist, but he fights better than most. He's just willing to stand up for his rights and his beliefs, even when it's painful. And plenty of pain has been inflicted on him, I would say. He's been in prison. He's been on bail. I can't even think of it now. Probation for long periods of time. He's never gotten off of probation really since like 10 years ago when this started in 2003. So, he has suffered a lot of pain, but those who observe his history with the law, unfortunately, become even more scared to speak up when you see what they can do to a person that they decide they're going to punish. Then, you know, they make an example of this person. So this causes people, rather than to be inspired by his actions maybe to be more scared by them. So this is our main problem, that fear of the power to hurt us, the fear of the power of established authority to hurt us makes cowards of us. And aggravating this problem, you know, I think on thinking about it, is that international Jewry is the power hiding behind what appears to be Gentile established authority. And we think many people think that they would be standing up to Gentile authority, and maybe there's a good reason for it, and they don't want to stand, you know, be on the outs against those who are running their own country and so on. But the fact is that it's Jewish power behind all this, and our fear is really of the Jews, and this is an ancient fear that we read about in the Bible. We've been indoctrinated about the Jews since that long ago. It's been a long time, see. You know, and I believe that our problem is not being able to get on top of this issue is that heavy and ongoing indoctrination that we've been under, and most people are not even in a position where they can question it. So I'm going to jump off the mic here for a minute and go get my phone and try calling this number, because I'm not getting any response from, I'm not having Brad calling in, and let me look at my mailbox and see if there's anything here from anybody. No, not a word. Okay, I'm going to run and get my phone, folks, so just hold on for a second. Unless somebody else is willing to call that number, I don't know, people don't want to reveal their own numbers. It's pretty bad. So I'll be right back. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. See? And I'm going to dial this number and see what I get. Now it's ringing. We'll see if somebody answers it. And if not, I will just continue talking about Brad. Well, what do you know? That didn't work, because I was told that is the number of someone who has not initiated their voicemail. So they don't have a voicemail box at this number. So that I couldn't leave a voicemail, and then she went on and said some other things. That's what took so long. So I can't leave a message here. There's nobody at this number. You know, it's not a very good deal, because when people don't have internet, I'm not going to criticize. I'm not going to say, you know, I made it real clear that he should call in at 12:05 his time. 12:05, he kept saying, okay, 12:05, I'll be calling you at 12:05. But then they call in early for some reason. Or they don't know what time it is. I don't know. And it doesn't work. And you just can't, what can I do about it? So I hope, I'm afraid I'm not going to have this guest today. Unless somebody gets hold of him and he calls. So he was also getting the number all mixed up. It couldn't repeat it back to me correctly over and over again. So he's kind of, you know, his mind is kind of roving around. when you're talking to him, I think so. But anyway, he was convicted in July 2003 and I believe it was in Ontario, and he has since moved to Alberta, or he may have even come from Alberta, but he was in Ontario at the time. I do believe I was going to ask him about that. And, because they have now moved the venue to Alberta. Well, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on here. This is what we need him to clear this up. But for promoting hate in connection with letters, dozens of letters he'd written over the years to federal members of parliament. And one of his, now there's not supposed to be any problem with writing letters to members of parliament. They should expect to get letters from people, even if they're not their own constituency. You know, they have no business complaining about that. But see, they have labeled these things as hate. This is where this hate business goes. It, you know, as soon as they, this has been extremely dangerous that we should not minimize this. This has been extremely dangerous when they managed to pass, laws, or even resolutions, but basically they've become law in outlawing what they call hate. And hate is so generalized. But this is one of the things that the Jewish power structure has been very, very determined to do. And they have done it. And they're still talking. Of course, that's one of their favorite things, talking about anti-Semitism, racial, attacking people based on race, and hate, which is all these things are considered hate. They're under the category of hate. So this is where we get in all this trouble. Now, Mr. Love was told when he was released in March 2004, he was convicted in July 2003. And the information I have is that he was released in March 2004, so he must have been detained or imprisoned during that. I think he was jailed during that time. But again, I needed to check that out with him. But that he was told, he was on probation then, told he could not write hateful or scurrilous letters. Again, you know, what is a hateful or scurrilous letter? We're going to find out what kind of things he wrote. He has been employed, gainfully employed all his life, you know, all the time, and he's faithfully kept his appointments with his probation officer. He's done all that right, but he was arrested. Now, this again was written by Paul Frohman. He was arrested, it says, on March 3rd, but it doesn't give a year, and it wasn't this year. It was, I don't know how many years ago. It wasn't in 2004 either, but it was some date on March 3rd, he had been to see his probation officer, and he was arrested when he left. You know, they catch him there, and he was charged with having written 30 more letters to MPP. So one of his probation conditions was not to write any more hateful or scurrilous letters, but he wrote letters anyway. He wrote some letters, and he may have thought they weren't hateful or scurrilous, but he was arrested for writing these letters. And Paul Frohm says, we believe that Mr. Love's outspoken opposition to the government's immigration policies have made him a target of the increasingly politicized policing in this province of Ontario. I believe they're talking about Ontario there. That was another question I had. So now I was going to say to Brad Love that his previous appearance on the show was on May 4th, just this year, a couple months ago. And on what I learned is that on May 18th this year, a couple weeks after he was on my show, and I read this on Paul Frohm's site, and I have it here, but I don't want to lose this page that shows if there's a call coming in. So I can only see it. I can't hear it. So... So on Monday, so where was I? Okay, Paul Frohm wrote that on May 18th, he wrote on May 18th, okay, that on May 13th, wow, just a little over a week after he was on my show on May 4th, he was sentenced. He had a court date on Monday, May 13th, and he was sentenced under Canada's hate law for his 2003 conviction for writing non-threatening letters. It says he was arrested by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in Fort McMurray. That's where he lives and that's where he works. That's where his, you know, and that's where I talked to him from. That's where he is now. That's where he lives. And he was charged with 7 counts. Now here's my phone ringing. Okay, hold on, folks. Hello. Yeah, you need to call in to the White Network number. Yeah, well, look, I don't know if you're calling. You're not. It's not. It's coming in. You know, you called before the show started, Brad, and I couldn't answer it. I cannot answer the phone. That's why I asked you to call in at 8:05. So, okay, if you call in now, and the number is 1-830, get this right now, 443-443-4911. Well, now repeat that to me. Repeat it to me. Very good. Okay, so, well, I know, but, well, you did call. The call went through, but then I couldn't answer it then, and then I lost my internet, and I had to get back on again. There's been all kinds of problems, but I'm glad to hear from you. So, the listeners are hearing me talking, so I'm going to hang up here, and, I'll be looking for your call, and I'll answer it when it comes through. So just let it ring, though. Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Well, we should be getting Brad any minute now. So let me bring my Skype page up where I can get on the right one. Get ready for it to come. Yeah, okay, here it is. In the right place. 2183. There he is.
Hey, it's Brad.
Hi, Brad. is great. this is great. Okay, so let me get back on, this is just, I don't know, I can't. This, you know, what happens is I get you on here, and then it covers up, for some reason, my White Network. Okay, here, I'm getting it now. All right. Now, we're here, and I was talking about how, and I didn't have all the details correct, I wasn't sure. I was talking about how, after you were on this show, Brad, May 4th,
yeah.
Now I've already introduced you to the people, so we won't go through that. On May 4th, it was then on May 18th, Paul Frome wrote an article on his, cafe site about you saying, on May 13th, you were arrested by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in Fort McMurray and charged with 7 counts of 4 counts of harassment and 3 of sending scurrilous material through the mail. So then, what happened from that?
Well, I am in court on July 11th and the 12th, I'm in court on the 11th to have some of my bail conditions watered down. As usual, they put the bail conditions on me that, listen to this, I can't send mail to anyone in Canada. I can't email and I can't text anyone in Canada at any time. And I am not allowed to contact any public official. I don't know what that means and who is actually a public official. And I'm going to ask for either all or a portion of my $2,000 in bail money back. That is on the 11th. The next day on the 12th, I will actually address the charges, and I will again ask the Crown Attorney to drop these frivolous charges. they will go nowhere. These charges wouldn't even hold water in civil court. There is no offense here.
Okay, you think so? You have an attorney who's advising you with this, right?
No, I do not. Nope. I am not getting an attorney for this. No way. They are not taking more money out of me. That is exactly what they want to do.
Yeah,
I refuse.
That really does appear to be the case. Now, you originally had an attorney, though, didn't you, when this all started?
Yes.
I
still have an attorney in Toronto for my appeal on the Ontario charges from 4 years ago. Yes.
Okay, that's what I was a little confused about because, all right, so this started out in Toronto, in Ontario, and it's still going on in Ontario. But you work in Fort McMurray in Alberta, and now they've come along and decided to harass you based on what?
Yes. I don't know. I'm not sure if somebody in Toronto has made a phone call for them to pile on me or what. Or what I've learned here, like a newspaper editor has charged me, a DJ who I phoned in the wintertime for a quick phone call on his call-in show, because he's a wild and wacky DJ, right? He's always making boob jokes and lewd comments. But he complained about me. Now, from what I've learned, the police actually canvassed these people. These people did not go to the police. The police went to them. Hey, did Brad Love ever send you anything? Has he ever commented? Oh, he hasn't? That's okay. We'll go pick him up. They sent four policemen to my house for these frivolous charges. As for mailing obscene matter, you know what I sent them, the majority of them? I sent them Paul Fromm's newsletter. I remailed it and sent it to them. It's not obscene. What? You can't talk about immigration or free speech. That's obscene to these people? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
that's how that works.
So how can they, if you have a probation order from Ontario,
right.
Then they, and if they decide in Alberta that you've broken that probation,
they can separately, why can they do this then?
They don't have any grounds for it.
From what I learned, from what I've seen with the police and the courts, they just make it up as they go. And nobody else in Canada is put through this. Nobody else in Canada has ever had a court order. You cannot send mail to anybody in the country. What kind of court order is that? Is that from North Korea? Like, come on. How do I pay my bills? How do I embrace myself in society? How do I vote if I can't contact a public official? They have basically locked me out of my own democracy. Yeah.
Well,
you know, the democracy. The democracy that they take half my paycheck every week in income tax. Now they've locked me out. I can't even complain to the person I voted for. He might complain about me. Thin-skinned whiners out here. I tell you. You know what I mean? And as usual, you know what? It's always white people who rat me out. Always. My very own people.
Okay, well, this guy from K-Rock 100 FM. Who you mentioned his name. What's his name?
Yep. Nick the Beard Lindsay.
Yeah, he's just football disc jockey. He's one of the complainants. Or is it him or is it the station that complained?
He's listed in the complaint. Yep. As wild and crazy a DJ as he is, I certainly offended him. Can you believe that? You know what I said to him? I called his show on the air, and I said, listen, Nick, you're a wild and crazy DJ. Why don't you say this on the air? And I said this to them. Hey, all you crazy oil sands workers, you're working 84 hours a week, and you pay half your check in income tax. You know what Stephen Harper did today, the prime minister? He gave $63 million to Mali. And all you people down in that cold soup at the soup kitchen in Fort McMurray. You know what Stephen Harper did yesterday? He gave $47 million to Haiti. You got any friends or family in this country? I said that to the DJ. I said, why don't you say that on the air and get really incite people? And he said, no, I could never say that. Well, I said, why? Well, they fire me. Why would they fire you? These are true facts. Your radio station told me this.
So this was not on the air, Brad? You talked to him privately?
Yes, privately. He didn't put the call on the air. And he asked me, who is this? I said, it's Brad Love. And he's, oh, I've heard of you. Yeah, I know you have. I'm the only guy that speaks out in this town, in this country. Yeah. And three months later, the police charged me.
Let me just comment here. So you said to Brad, to this DJ off the air, called him, and told him that why doesn't he talk about the kind of money that our government, why don't you tell the oil workers that are freezing themselves off this winter working and the government's taking half their money and sending it to Somalia and sending, you know, millions to Haiti and so on. Why don't you talk about that? And they consider that to be some kind of hate speech that you're not allowed to say?
They consider that harassment. One call in the middle of February. They consider that harassment. One call?
No, they wouldn't consider it harassment by anybody else, but is it?
No, of course not. And you know what? The DJ, just like the newspaper, they're constantly issuing call-outs. Oh, contact us. Get in touch. Send a brick. Send a bouquet. We'd like to hear from you. We want to hear from you. It's printed. They say it on the air all the time. So, yeah, I phone them. This gives me permission to actually call them. If you don't like my opinion, well, that's okay, because I don't like most of your opinions. But I'm certainly not going to phone the police on you. Even if they did, they would never come, because it's Brad Love phoning. But if you phone on Brad Love, oh, they'll come.
Well, are you talking
Unreal.
Now about the newspaper? Because it's also your local newspaper in Fort McMurray
today. They ratted me up.
Was also complaining. What did you do with them?
Yep. Oh, I've sent them letters and called and comments, just like they asked me to do. Do you know why? Because I'm a customer. Yes. I buy their newspaper. Some of the stuff is not bad. They run a lot of anti-immigrant stuff and anti-Muslim stuff that they copy from the Toronto Sun, because it is a Sun subsidiary newspaper. So they run a lot of columns that are printed in the Sun. And I agree with some of them, yes. Yes, I do. But the ones I don't, they're always running drives. Oh, let's raise money for Ghana. Let's go dig some wells in Kenya. And I blast them for that. What about our own people? Forget about Africa. My father and my grandfather's taxes, you know, supported them. You know, they multiply faster than we can print the aid money. Forget Africa. Forget them.
Okay.
And for this, they ratted me.
Yeah, so for this kind of talk, you know, is no longer allowed. And as I was saying before you came on, Brad, that, you know, we think that we're fighting our own establishment, power establishment, but in my opinion, we're fighting international jewelry, which is the power behind what appears to be our established authority. And this kind
of
thing is not allowed. I don't want to get you to say anything you don't want to say, but this is not allowed in our countries now because of the kind of authority we have, because of who's running our countries. And this is the future where we have to love all these people. We have to love Jews. We have to love Africans. We have to love all these people and give everything to them, or we're going to be targeted and imprisoned and so on. And this is the future. People need to wake up to see that this is actually happening.
I know. It's as if white people have to get down on their knees and pray for forgiveness every morning that we wake up. Well, you know what? We don't, and that's not how we built this country. Yes, we built this country by fighting people and taking over. I'm sorry, that's the way history works. The tough guys win the war. Yeah, we fought a lot of French, we fought a lot of Indians. Now Canada is our country, but we are losing it day by day. And who's giving it away? Our own people, the people I voted for. Our own people are stabbing us.
I'm arguing that we've been so indoctrinated. It's not that our people are so bad, but they no longer understand what you just said. No longer understand it. This indoctrination, I'm realizing, you know, we have to realize it's been going on since biblical times, but it's just picked up pace so strongly in the last couple hundred years, and just keeps picking up pace because their power gets more and more. And so, you know, what we see, people can't even, they can't believe, and they still can't get their heads around, being able to point the finger at the people who are really responsible for all this. It's easier to say it's our own people, and it is our own people doing it. But, you know, people who are, those people are kind of, some of them are just indoctrinated, and some of them have joined in, you know, knowingly because that they see that's a winning team. So those people are traitors, and those people you have to, you know, we can point the finger at. But, like, what about this Oxfam they seem like liberals who really believe what they're doing. And they are another Fox complainant of yours.
Yeah, Oxfam is a Marxist-Leninist social welfare agency, and they have been caught doing numerous things in developing countries, providing aid and comfort to, African armies that sometimes employ child soldiers. Yes, they do aid and abet them, but now they're even Islamists, they are coming to the aid of them in different parts of Africa. And you see people here raising money with always the picture of the starving African child. Well, that's not where the majority of Oxfam's money goes to. Oh, no. It goes to various Marxist-Leninist armies or their puppet governments. And that's what Oxfam is all about. And their little guy who runs it here, I ran into him once, and he said, "Oh, you're Pavlov. Yeah. Oh, I know about you. You've been harassing my family." And sure enough, he phoned the police. I've met the guy once for 5 minutes. "You're harassing my family. What? Because my political opinion is different from yours?" And yeah, like the grown white man Canadian he is, he phoned the police on me, and they were oh so glad to come by the house. This guy also has a court order against me to stay away from him. That's not a criminal charge.
What is this man's name? The guy who runs where you are.
His name is Blake Crossley.
And is he in all of Canada, Oxfam and Canada?
No, just in this little town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's always in the paper, him and his kid. They're always going to climb and Kilimanjaro. Now Kilimanjaro. They basically travel on charity money to go see Africa. I mean, I don't think this guy's done a lick of real work in his life.
Right. Now, it says here that you asked his son at some point where you were taught where they were promoting their cause. Is the world running out of water?
Yeah, he had this little water.
And the son slipped out.
Yeah, he did. His son is probably one of these emotional, fragile guys. He kind of looks the part. Yeah, which if he's anything like his father, yes, he's very emotionally fragile. He can't take anything. "Oh, I don't like your opinion." And he'll just immediately break down and then dial 911, of course. Yeah. This is what this country is built on. These people, you gotta be kidding me. No wonder we're losing Canada. Oh, yeah. I'd like to send this guy and his water thing, send him to Africa in a crate one way and just get rid of him. Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be that easy, Brad.
I know.
They're not going anywhere.
But you know what? I'm going to get these guys in court. I'm going to get them on the stand. I'm going to get them under oath, and then I have them. Then they're going to have to answer my questions.
Okay, now when this comes up on the 11th and 12th, you're acting as your own attorney. You have the power to call witnesses and call people and cross and examine them?
Of course I have.
Okay.
I know exactly how the court system works here.
Okay. And, have you gone into court on your own before, or is this the first time you're going to do it?
No. They are well aware of me here.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. I'm at a work trailer. We're about to leave. Kirk, can you put this on speaker?
Are you at work, too?
I'm at work, but we're almost done.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on company time, but that's okay.
Okay.
All right.
All righty. Well,
okay.
Yeah, so you were saying that you've been your own attorney before. You've gone into court on your own. And you're going to put these people on the witness stand. Have they already been notified about that?
No, they haven't. And that will happen on the 12th. Because if the Crown does not drop the charges, what we'll do is I'll call for we have a preliminary hearing. And that is when the witnesses come. And they will be subpoenaed to court. The witnesses will come, and they have to give quick testimony. Yes, Brad sent me a letter, and I complained about him.
Okay, Brad, you've moved over. You've moved to a speakerphone. Is that right? And we don't hear you as well. Your voice is not loud enough.
can hear me now.
Well, I can hear you because I've got earphones on, but I know from experience that the listeners are probably having a hard time hearing you, especially since my voice is loud.
I'll be closer to the phone.
Yeah.
You okay? Okay.
No, I think you better go on the regular phone. The speaker phones don't work too well for calls like this. And then if you go out of range, you can always move, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
I'm at a very remote site here for our work.
Yeah.
We have a special phone that works here. My own personal phone does not.
I see. Okay. Well, I didn't know all that. But anyway, you sound fine now. So as long as we can keep this up, we'll be doing good. All right, so tell us more about how you think you're going to do in your court appearance coming up. I mean, you're going to. Okay, go ahead.
Honestly, I'm most confident.
Okay, we're losing you. Maybe you need to go outside or something.
Well, I'm outside. I'm outside.
Okay, you're outside now.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you're fine now. We hear you now.
Okay.
So how are you going to handle this, you say? Tell us more about your upcoming case. You say
I have a little statement prepared that I'm going to say to the judge and everything else, and I am just going to you know what? If you want a psychopath in a courtroom, you got him, because that's exactly how I behave. And as my own lawyer, I'm allowed to be like that. Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
You are.
You're
allowed to get away with a few things.
Do you have a jury in Canada?
No, it won't be a jury trial. It can't be.
Okay.
I wish it was.
So you're talking to the judge. One judge or more than one judge?
One judge.
And you think if you act like a psychopath, your judge is going to go, you know?
I know. You know what? I act like a psychopathic lawyer. I do. I know exactly what to say. I know what to ask for. I know how to steer the crown away from different things. Really, I've been in the courtroom enough for this kind of stuff. I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Really.
Well, I know I believe you're very smart. So, you know, I believe you. So you think that you're going to discredit? I guess your plan is you're going to discredit these people who complained, these complainants. Right?
Of course. Okay. Of course. You cannot harass people with one phone call. You cannot harass people with one letter. Like, some of these charges, even on the paperwork, go back 6 years.
Well, what about when they say that because of past behavior of yours and past experience with the courts and so on, you are not allowed to harass even with one letter. You're not allowed to write to people or to express your opinions openly like that anymore. Is there any validity to that legally?
No, not really. No. And during a trial or anything else, they can't bring up that stuff. They can only bring it up after sentencing. They cannot introduce that into your trial. It's not evidence.
Okay. All right.
If you're found guilty, then the Crown Attorney can go, well, look at Mr. Love. He was found guilty of the very same offenses in Toronto. And look what he's still doing. Well, you know why I'm still doing it? Because I believe in myself. And I believe what I'm doing is right. And what I'm saying is true. Yeah. I'm proud to still do it. You're not shutting me up. I'm 54 years old. I'm not going away. This is my country. You know, stop taxing me at a 50% rate. Maybe I'll go easy on you. But when you steal my paycheck every week, you're damn right I'm a little mad, and I'm going to speak out about everything and everybody that steals my money and spends it on people who hate me. Yeah, it's as simple as that. It's not racism.
Know,
it's all about money.
That's great. You know, what you're saying is you're not going to shut me up. I'm not going to be shut up because I have every right, and this is what it came down to last time you were on. I work hard, I pay my bills, I pay my taxes, I pay lots of taxes, and there's no reason that I should be shut up. I have a right to speak out. And I think it's just amazingly to your credit that you continue to fight for this, because most people would simply not. And that's what they count on, and that's why they keep trying to stop you, because you're one of the few who won't be beaten down.
I won't be intimidated, and I won't be bullied. I won't. And when I see the RCMP coming for me, and you know what? The papers are full of RCMP scandals every day. There are over 200 RCMP female policemen who are suing the force for harassment, sexual harassment. The force is always in trouble. They're bumbling, they're inept, and they're costly. And when the media slams them constantly, well, then I know I got somebody on my side here. And these same policemen, as busy as they are, always have time to come and arrest Brad. No matter how much crime is in town, always got time for the letter writer. Unbelievable.
Well, what do you think? We've got about 9 minutes before we go to our first break. And Brad, let me tell you now, when we do break for our 5 minutes and we'll have some music we'll be playing, don't hang up the phone. You stay on the line.
Hold on. I think I'm going to have to cut this short.
Oh, you don't think you can stay for the second hour?
No, I don't, because we're in a train yard right now, and we have train activity coming in right now. So essentially, I have to get back to work.
Well, I'll ask for people to call in the second hour then. If you're not here, you won't be able to answer the questions, but we'll do the best we can. But would you hang on until we do go to our break?
You know what?
What?
I got a train coming in right now.
What's a train?
I work at a train yard.
Oh, I think
a train. A freight train. Yeah, I load freight cars full of sulfur or crude oil. I have a partner with me. He's signaling me at the other end. So we have a locomotive coming in to take our stuff away, and it's going to the United States. Yes.
Okay. Well.
You know what? How about we talk? Oh man, I wish I was at home and I'd have lots of time on my own home phone.
Well, I thought you were going to be.
This is Fort McMurray, man. You work every day, 12 hours a day. There's no holidays. No, there's not. Yeah. 84-hour work week, government takes half. How nice.
Yeah.
If we talk through the week, maybe we can do this next Saturday. Chances are I might have that day off.
Well, I don't know. I've got somebody scheduled for next Saturday. So,
okay, then.
We'll
talk through the week. How's that?
Well, okay. Well, I'm sorry that this is being cut off. It's not what I expected. But
I know. I'm sorry. I know.
If you have to, all right.
Okay.
But don't hang. Wait a minute. Don't hang. You can't hang up until. Let's see. If you hang up now, I won't hear the break music. So you can't hang up until that starts. Even if you leave the phone or something. And go do something else. Can you just hang on? Can you tell your partner to take charge of things? We've only got 6 minutes left or so.
Okay, then
I won't mess up the show. All right. Well, then in this little bit of time, let me ask you, what do you think about the repeal of the Section 13 in the Human Rights Act?
Yeah. That's a step. Now we have to get rid of Section 319 of the Criminal Code, and that is the legislation regarding hate crime. Because hate is just a human emotion; it can't be legislated, right? You know what I mean? I mean, my dog hates cats. You gonna arrest him too? Section 319. But all those lawyers from all those Jewish groups, they're the ones that put that in place. And they can use that against their enemies at any time for anything they might say or think or write. And that is an atrocity.
Yeah, well, Mark Lemire has worked very hard on that with other people, too. You know, Barbara Pulaski and a lot of people that I can't even mention here. But do you work with him at all, or do you...
No, he's an attorney. He's in Ontario somewhere.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
So do you think that this repeal of Section 13 is as big as we'd like to think it is, or is it just a little step that they still can get around?
No, I, you know what, it didn't cause me to lose much sleep or get much sleep. It's kind of a wishy-washy charge that was probably going to go away anyway, but okay, I'm glad it's gone. It should never have been there, but there's a lot more work to do in that regard.
Well, there is, and the whole work is in somehow getting people to understand what all this stuff means for them. And the fact is that the opposition, those who want it, have control of all the sources of, you know, outlets of information, and they're constantly putting out their own things. So we do have to work very hard. And,
you know, all
you have to do is get on and talk a little while, and I think you really charge people up, but you're very effective. But you do like to work, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so it kind of cuts into your time for speaking, doesn't it?
Hey, I don't like to work this. I mean, I'm 54 years old. This is just the way it is now. When I was 24, I used to work 35 hours a week. I had a nice apartment, I had a car, I got a motorcycle, I had a good life in Toronto. But now my government says I have to work 84 hours a week to get even less. I mean, if you would have told me I'd be working these hours at this age, I would have thrown myself off a balcony. But slowly and gradually, this is just the way life is now. Yeah. And it's not the way, what I mean?
Are you having to do this in order to pay your court costs?
No, this is just the schedule here in Fort McMurray. This is oil country, okay? This is big oil here.
This is like,
right?
The only job you can get because of,
it's very expensive living here. Yes, it is. This is just the routine. Everybody is doing this in this town. The mayor here works a 12-hour day. I know she does. Yeah. There's no 8-hour jobs here. Think of Texas and the boom town in the 60s. This is what Fort McMurray is now.
Well, where were you born? You weren't born there, were you?
Toronto. No, I was born in Toronto.
You're from Toronto, but you moved out there.
Yep, 7 years ago.
Yeah, why did you move out there?
Well, the jobs in Toronto were crap. Immigrants have totally ruined the economy and the jobs, especially in the construction industry where there's illegals everywhere undercutting everything. Yeah, you can't make any money there. Nope. Mm.
Okay.
No, you can't. So, and I was sick of the government. I'm sick of the gay community pushing politics and their lifestyle on me. I'm sick of the traffic. I'm sick of the criminal harassment charges, the political correctness, everything. Toronto is just New York City. What a dump.
Well, you're like a free man. You are like the men of the old West. You want to be free, and you have to go out there to Fort McMurray in Alberta in order to be free. Okay. Thanks very much, Brad.
Okay, I'll talk to you again later. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. Don't you walk by the sea of the wind. Keep your eyes on the temples of light. And your torch on
Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager on Saturday Afternoon with Carolyn. And we had a rather exciting and plenty eventful first hour on this show with Brad Love from Canada. He's really fun to talk to and listen to, but unfortunately, he was at work and he couldn't continue. He said, he told me when I first asked him about it, he said to check with him the next night and he would let me know what his work schedule was. And then the next night he said, oh yeah, I'll call in at this hour and we'll talk and all. So I figured he wasn't working on Saturday. I didn't realize or had forgotten maybe or whatever that he worked every day. I don't know if he works every day, but he said. So anyway, that we got cut off. I mean, he had to go back to work, so we don't have him this hour. But we're still going to be talking about this problem with the kind of society and that we are expected to be living in and accept in the future, and even right now it's going on, but not as bad as it will go on, where you cannot say anything against any person of another race or another country, or you can't speak about things if you can't, like, for example, you can't speak negatively about immigration. That's what's going to be next. It happens with Brad Love, that if you talk against immigration from non-white countries, that's going to be considered hateful, and you're hateful toward another race, and that's a, you know, huge crime, and you're going to be punished for it, and people are going to be afraid to do it. So we're going to really are going to be people who are going to have to put up with anything and everything just in order to keep out of trouble. And we're going to have plenty of trouble just living that way. I mean, we're going to have plenty of trouble being persecuted ourselves, because there's not going to be any laws against talking hatefully toward white people. At least there isn't. So far, white people have been totally exempted from all of these various kinds of hate laws that have been passed. It's like, well, you can't, you know, it doesn't apply to whites, so that's not going to change. So I will say a little bit about this Section 13 repeal and what it means. I don't have too much to say about it, but I would welcome anyone to call in now, and the call-in number is 830-443-4911, and I would like for people to call in today, since we don't have the guests now in the second hour, and talk about any of the things that he said or anything about this particular problem, and almost anything at all, as long as it's relevant, you know, and seriously put and not frivolous. So real quick, just I'll just try to say that this, if anybody doesn't know, it happened not too long ago, a week and a half or something. Section 13 of the Human Rights Commission law has been repealed, has been found to be unconstitutional, and it's been thrown out, and it's no longer in effect. But as Mark Lemire says, it doesn't affect those people who are already charged under it. That's the way I get it. That if you're already charged under Section 13, you still have to, you know, prove your innocence or whatever. You still have to go through the process. Only that they're not going to charge anybody new, or they can't charge anyone new under this. And, you know, the point has been made that since that's been in effect, and it's the one about the hate, you know, you can't use hate on the internet. You can't, you know, thinking I was going to, I didn't even really bone up on this, but it was enacted in 1977. And in these intervening years, everybody who's been hauled up on this charge, charged with this, has been convicted. There's not a single person that wasn't convicted under this law. So that goes to show that it's not really fairly, has never been fairly handled. And, but there's still this other legislation that they have to go after, have to try to get rid of. But it's a huge battle. It's taken all this time just to get rid of that Section 13. So, you know, I just would like to have, if anybody listening has information about this, wants to call in, I'm going to go back to my page where I can see callers, wants to call in and give us more information about this, talk about this, I would certainly welcome them, including Mark Lemire, or anybody who has special knowledge about it. And that is at, again, 830-443-4911. It's not a toll call. I mean, it's not a toll-free call. Sorry about that. It is a toll call. It's not a toll-free call. I've got a few stories here I'd like to discuss, and I thought I would discuss them with Brad, but that's okay. We don't need to have Brad here to talk about this, which is lucky. So, and you know, I would like to comment more about some of the things he said, but I guess I'm not feeling relaxed enough to just go into that. But I think maybe it doesn't need to be commented on. But it's pretty clear that they are making an example out of him, that he is too free of a person, and they don't want that to catch on, or they don't want people to see him get away with saying what he thinks. And so they're trying to get at him in every which way, which is, you know, which is against the law. I mean, you know, it's against the law for the authorities to behave in the way they're behaving toward him. It's going to be very interesting, to see what happens on July 11th and 12th. It's just coming up real quick. How he does, you know, I can only hope that he does well. He is a fantastic guy. I don't know that he even asked for money. I mean, he doesn't have a website. He's not supposed to, you know, you send emails to people, so he stays off of it. I guess he didn't always stay off of it, but because he's just too tempting to him for him to use it. But he doesn't set himself up as somebody who's asking for help. He just does it on his own. And the only, you don't read about him anywhere. The only person, the only place that writes about him in person is Paul Frome on his, cafe, Canadian Association for Free Expression, and he has kept up with Brad Love. But otherwise, man, there's nothing about him. So it's a pretty terrible situation. But he's one of a kind, I'll tell you. And you have to forgive if there's any ways in which he goes too far. But you know, he doesn't use bad language, and he doesn't you know, he doesn't show himself badly. I don't think he doesn't make a fool of himself. He used the word psychopathic lawyer he was going to be, but he's not at all psychopathic, and he's never done any harm to anybody. So, you know, he's somebody that people should get behind, and probably people should write about more and pay some attention to him. But as I say, in this internet age, you have to call him up on the phone. In this internet age, if you expect to read about him and learn about him on the internet, you're going to be disappointed, because you won't find much at all. But now an example of how far this kind of thing goes with Jewish control over our, what we can do, what we can say, what we can write, and how much worse it's getting. Okay, now just as I started going, here's somebody calling, but that's good. Let me get to my Skype page and answer this call. Okay. Waiting for it to come up. Let's see, I think I heard a little noise. Hello there. Hello. Could you tell us your name and where you're from?
It's John Beattie, Caroline, up in Minden, Ontario, Canada.
Well, hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Well, I couldn't resist. I mean, you got a Canadian on there. He sure does a job. And, yeah, I followed the Section 13 thing, of course, being up here. It is a real victory. It's not really a minor victory. It's a major victory. Top Jewish guy, Kotler, in Montreal, who has taken over Pierre Trudeau's old riding, it's a big Jewish riding, and he fought this tooth and nail, and all the political Jews in Canada fought to keep it on the books. It's important because it controlled even the simplest of language. So it was like if the hate law couldn't get you for, you know, real heavy-duty stuff like genocide promotion, murder, whatever, promoting real violence. So this was the catch-all, this Section 13, just anything if somebody's feelings were hurt. So, but you could just tell by the opposition. I mean, the opposition held it up in the Senate, a majority Senate for the conservatives, who actually, you know, killed the Section 13. And they couldn't even get it passed in the Senate. The opposition was just, vocal, verbal, and you can imagine the pressure put on people behind the scenes. So, you know, in spite of Harper, ass-kissing around the globe like all politicians do, you know, to me it's a fantastic victory that this, Section 13 got kicked off the books, and Mark LaMire and, his brilliant lawyer Barbara Kolaska get so much credit. So I guess that's all I could really say about it.
Well, let's remind people again, John, what your website is and what you do.
Okay. Well, Carol and I sure see eye to eye on this, nationalist and patriot. Be proud of your ancestors and who you are, whether it's German or British or French. And go way back to the late 70s. I'll never forget, she passed away now, but my wife and I were standing right in downtown Toronto, the Bloor Viaduct, it's a major through pass, and just trying to think of a name of an organization. And we thought, well, if we call it the Northern League, then every European group, and there's arguments between certain groups. The pan-European idea, of course, is terrific, but you can't squash your own immediate roots, whether, you know, Oktoberfest or whatever. And so that's what we do with the British People's League here in Canada. It sounds unusual, you know, to the British bit here in Canada, but the conquerors of this territory here in the northern part of the North American continent, the conquerors were those of the British stock. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we won that, and we're proud of our traditions. I'm not going to say we're proud of conquered people, but hey, we won Pains of Abraham. So now we're being outbred and outmaneuvered, just like, you know, in your country, Carolina, et cetera. But that's why this victory, Section 13, is a wake-up call that we can win with people like Mark LaMire and Barbara Kolaska, who fought this single-handedly. Mark LaMire has a picture on his webpage of him going to file papers in a blasting snowstorm. I don't know if I could have done that. But particularly, yeah, I got the British People's League. I'm finding YouTube to be a terrific weapon. Just fantastic. You're not interrupted. And now Section 13's gone, you know. I could say that Kotler pushed for the Jewish people, to try and kill our rights to freedom of speech. You know something? Before Section 13 was killed, I'm too old to be charged in the courts, but I would have had to be careful. No, we got free speech back on the internet.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel freer now that Section 13 is actually gone? Yeah, you do.
I don't think I would have called your show today. I'd still be nervous that, you know, the Jewish question and so on is, it's out there. But yeah, I just find YouTube is now, see, with YouTube, with Section 13 gone, sure, I can discuss things a lot freer. I can still say we're being invaded by Africa, we're being invaded by Asia. I would have said that even before 13, but you couldn't be as detailed. If you hurt someone's feelings, that Ottawa lawyer guy tried to get me fired from my job just because of postings I made on some web boards down in the States. So I had to be careful, but no, we're freer. Absolutely. That affected the Internet, and the guy they passed it over for to stop him, John Ross Taylor, he was a very good personal friend of mine. And they literally wanted to stop John's messages. He was really shaking things up, really big time, exposing the truth, and they had to stop him. So they did. They created that law to stop one man, and then, of course, they used it to persecute everybody. You know, but how many could take the persecution like Brad Love does? I mean, the guy's a miracle.
Yeah, really. Well, so now what about the Human Rights Commission? In Canada, how dangerous is that to free speech without Section 13?
Well, without Section 13, they're beat. We could say almost anything. Just you know, if you get into raw hate, I mean, where you incite people to go and beat up people or burn down a building or whatever, then that's what the hate law is there for in the criminal code. And, oh boy, I'm always the odd guy in what they call the right wing, but, you know, in a way they've done us a favor with that stupid hate law because it makes us think harder and we think of ways to get around it. And besides, you know, we don't really need people in our circle that are talking about extermination, etc. It doesn't do our image all that great. So I could care less about the heavy-duty hate law. That's the criminal code law that's still on the books. But in order to lay that charge, the provincial attorney general personally has to sign a charge. And they've only laid about two, to my knowledge, two or three in the history of that law, and that's been an older law. But this human rights thing got kicked out. It was unbelievable. One gal up here, I won't mention her name, but, you know, she's been kicked off the political internet for life. That was part of the punishment. I imagine she could now appeal it, but like everybody, we've had to go out and try and survive economically in the jungle. But, oh, yeah, people suffered money-wise. And then there's one guy in Toronto tries to justify it. He's in the so-called right wing by saying that, well, you know, the politically active Jews didn't care. They didn't mind this being kicked off the books because two Jews were charged under the human rights section 13, Mark Stein and Ezra Levant. They're well-known writers up here in Canada. But not so. I mean, these two guys were, you've got them down there, Caroline. I can't think of the names, but you know, they try and talk the right-wing language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with Ezra and Mark Stein.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be, you know, on the side of freedom of speech. But they weren't, were they brought up in, but they didn't get hurt very badly, right?
Well, they were all, Ezra Levant spent plenty, $200,000 on lawyers, $200,000. And they could put you in jail with the Human Rights Commission law and the whole works. But, you know, I will say this, and I've done a YouTube on, a 15-minute YouTube on this very topic. You just click in Google YouTube John Beattie.
I didn't know you were making YouTube videos, John.
Oh, I'm in heaven with them. You can't be interfered with, and you're responsible for what you say. Hey, it's better than a big rally because you get the message out to people. And Mark Lemire's picked up on it by reproducing Doug Christie's videos. Mm-hmm. So this YouTube thing is working really good. But yeah, what I say in the recent one is that Mark Stein and Ezra Levant, they may have been the start of the downfall. That's true. I'll concede that because, you know, they're up in the middle class and so on. So when you stomp on them, but the established political activists like this Irvin Kotler guy, a member of parliament in Montreal, they fought. They wanted to keep that alive. Because, that lawyer in Ottawa, you know, 100%, like Brad Love was saying, or I think you were saying just earlier in the show, 100% success rate. And they crucified people, thousands of dollars in fines, but the public didn't even know about it. I'll talk to a couple of people in the village. They don't know. They don't care. It's unbelievable. But they do know about the black flash mobs. That's one thing that's alerting people up in Canada is the flash mob thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about that more. I don't even know if I'd use the word black flash mobs before with that Section 13.
What was that? There's black flash mobs up there in Canada?
Well, no, it's more in the States, but they are.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that is easily found on Google, and the public up here is aware of black flash mobs because that's, you know, on TV, and they can see it, and it scares them.
Right.
But Section 13, you're getting too heavy duty. You're going beyond hockey game and sex and rock and roll when you're talking laws. The average public up here didn't even know about it. Just our circles, Carolyn, knew.
You know, I've heard that the people in Canada didn't even know what Section 13 was, and I find that so amazing. I can hardly believe it.
Oh, I mean, you know, you get so many people and talk shows in the States criticize their own people, etc., but you people are... Even the average Walmart shopper's got more on the brain power about the politics than people up here. Honestly, they just, like I'm in cottage country, they flee from the fleas every weekend. They come up here and when they're heading back Sunday night, they look on their faces because they're going back to the jungle in Toronto. But It's up to us, and I believe, like, I just love your poster, Dawn, from Mexican-occupied sunny California. People like you and Dawn and others you've had on as guests, we're gonna do it. I mean, if we can get rid of Section 13 up here, anything's possible. Anything. And, yes, I know,
you know
I said
I've heard that Canadians, many Canadians, or that there's an idea out there that Canadians think that Americans are just not as, well, what? They're inferior in some way to Canadians. And I'm trying to remember why that is. It's like we don't know what's going on or we're, and you know, and now you're saying the opposite, that the Canadians
well, look
don't.
Look at talk shows. I mean, okay, there's me on YouTube, there's Brad Love, there's Paul Fromm, there's Mark Lemire. So a country of 30 million, there's a handful of people speaking out. Whereas
You're right about that. I have noticed that. I thought, where are all these Canadians? No,
it's unbelievable.
They're very conservative.
Yeah, I take my hat off the American white right, because there's talk shows springing up everywhere. And Dawn has to keep me calm, because I don't like to hear filthy language. I'm a lot like you. But Dawn's point, and it's good, you know, in the battle for white survival, we can't be fussy. We need everybody out there. Different approaches, different strokes.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Yeah, well, I'm of the older generation. And there is a generation gap, and I have a hard time really relating to people in their 20s. You know, who are in this movement and so on. Although, I relate quite well with Andrew Anglin, and then I read some things he writes we communicate between the two of us and we get along really well, and he's a very understanding person and very open to all kinds of white people, and he's not, but yet I've read some things that he has written on comment boards and so on, and I think, oh wow, that's going too far. You know, but it doesn't change my idea about him, because I know him, you know, on a more personal basis. I recognize that there's this generation gap, and I just just exists. There's, you know, I tend to be a little bit judgmental, and I think, well, these people, unless at the way they're going now, they're not going to accomplish anything, or this younger generation just doesn't get it, and they're not going to, they're lazy or something, and they're not going to do anything. And yet they say about the older generation, and it's true, you know, how little we did and how much happened during our time. But I understand why, because we just didn't understand what was going on at all. Now they think that they're more wise to things, and in that sense they are, but that's because, you know, the internet. We didn't have the internet.
Yeah, for sure. Well, on the young thing, I give Dawn full credit for coaching me on the young thing, because say we got white mobs out there, rough language, real raw stuff and so on, that is beyond you and I, Caroline, but guess what? You know, these talk shows that are coming up that are equal to the street talk of young whites, so there's their niche. So they get enlightened. They get enlightened through the rough talk shows, the rough elements. So that's an area of the white man that is covered by these upcoming young rough white talking shows. So we don't lose them to the cause. And as you may not be our cup of tea, but because we're over the hill, what the hell?
Well, I think that we need fighters and we need fighting people, and I'm for all for people standing up. What I kind of object to is if people talk in a lot of rude ways on the internet and don't always know that much about the facts they're talking about, or don't care about the facts, but don't want to stand up in real life, and they don't, you know, so all these, internet names and so on that people use. Well, it's just so easy. You know, it's so easy on the internet to just use a pseudonym, and these are not even pseudonyms. For people who always use the same one, that's one thing. You get to know who they are, you know, you get familiar with them. But when they just pick up some name and write in somewhere about it, there's no point in listening to that. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, again,
but, it's a different time, and we have different technology, and we just have to get used to it. Like, I don't want to go on Facebook. And now with all this stuff coming out about how they're taking all this material, the NSA is using Facebook and all these social sites.
Yeah,
I care because they can get my stuff anyway. But, you know, I'm glad I wouldn't get on there, but I don't even want to use Twitter. I don't even text. I don't do that stuff because I don't have time to get into it. And
especially with your scheduling. I mean, you're a hero line for us. That's a lot of work. And, I'll tell you what, I don't care if I say it now, but, I don't know if you call it retire or pack it in, whichever, from my day job. I'm not going to pay the dues, outrageous dues, in January. So then I'm going to do a YouTube 5 days a week on current affairs for our groups, for the different groups, including your show and all the shows. So 5 days a week I'll be doing that, and I'm really feeling great about it. It's going to be rough to pay the mortgage. I think I've got a good roomer lined up for upstairs in the house here. But I'm just in heaven. I can't wait till January, and that's what I'm going to do. I found my niche now with YouTube. So anybody wants to click it, you just go YouTube, John Beattie, and you'll see the comments and so on. But back to Brad Love. That guy amazes me. especially
well, I
in
want
the
to
50s.
Congratulate you, John, on quitting your job and being excited about continuing on, because I do think that we don't need to worry when we get a certain age. We don't need to keep worrying all the time about, you know, paying things. We should be able to pay it and do something, you know, use our time constructively. So good for you. Congratulations to you on that.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm sure feeling good. Well, thank you very much. I don't want to hog up the show here in case somebody else wants to call in.
Well, people can call even if you've called. You know, I can take a lot of callers at the same time. So you can stay on if you want. If you had something more to say about Brad Love, go ahead. And then
I think there's another niche, you know, like I preach, being careful, tell the truth, but you know, don't get in positions where they can lay charges on you. But I don't want to call myself a coward, but here's Brad Love. He's proven the opposite. He just fires away and he is known, and that's for sure. And the public isn't stupid. Now, more in your country, things are being done. Somehow somebody made the point the other day, the public is not that stupid, especially the American white public. Because when Zimmerman got charged, what was it he raised? Something like 200,000 in a few weeks?
Yeah.
Those are the silent majority sending that money in. Those aren't radical right or white right advocates. That's Joe Public sending that money in. People know, but I think you've stressed it in many shows, you know, of yours, that when people see a good organized group, and I guess that's the problems the National Alliance had and so on, I mean, because it was drawing good people, but so are your shows. I mean, you're out there. You know, the great white American male, what's he going to say when a retired lady is got the guts to do what you're doing?
Oh, well, thank you. I never really think about it that way, but
they're always bitching about, oh, women should be in the family. Well, fine, have the babies, etc. But if more women would speak up, well, the truth is up here, I find that most of the inquiries to me are women. The best help that I'm getting, technical stuff on the web pages and so on, really, I got a circle of women who are disgusted with the men. So, toss of the coin.
Women are a valuable resource, and I think that they should be used. And I don't think women should. I don't think some of these guys should be discouraging women from, you know, becoming, they say, oh, we can't have any women leaders because that makes the men look bad. And we have to have a man's society. You know, we have to have, what's that called? Male supremacy or something, you know, and male dominance. And so we don't want to encourage women. Well, I think they should encourage everybody. And, women really are not that. It's women who are active in our cause are not feminists and should not be, you know, confused with feminists who are mostly all Jewish. And the whole thing is just needs a lot of work. But it's too bad we've got so many men that in that mindset. But anyway, I've got a story here I'd like to bring up with the ADL, and you can stay on and comment on it if you want to. I don't, you know, have any reason for you to hang up unless you want to hang up.
Well, I don't really want to, but I enjoy the show, and yeah, the ADL stuff can get pretty rough. Well, I'll hang on, but if you see me click off, it's because I've turned coward or something, but I'll hang on.
Okay, all right. Do, you can do it either way. So there's this story July 4th that where the ADL, probably a lot of people are familiar with this already, but it's so, when you really think about it, you know, it's a very good example to use for what I've been talking about. And that is where they've accused this newspaper service of anti-Semitism because of a word in a crossword puzzle. You know, one of the clues in the crossword puzzle. I don't know if you're familiar with this one, John, but it was...
unbelievable.
The Tribune Media Services, and I'm not standing up for these people because they caved immediately. But they, you know, a syndicated news organization, and they put out these crossword puzzles too. And in their papers that they own, they had a clue in one of the crossword puzzles, which was the answer was Jew to the question Shylock. Yes, you know that they had, or the clue was Shylock from Merchant of Venice, and the answer was three-letter word Jew. And the ADL found that, and I imagine that they have these people, these Jews, you know, all over the world who are, it's just in their daily points about, you know, and reading papers and stuff. If they see something, they'll report it to them, or they'll report it to somebody. Oh, look what I found here. And so they decided this was a good one to use, the ADL did, and so they wrote to the Tribune Media Services, and they issued a statement to, you know, publicly about it, that this was, they asked the news service to refrain from writing future puzzle clues that perpetuate negative cultural stereotypes, meaning of Jews, and they added of Jews as evil and money hungry. Well,
just quoting Shakespeare, they're probably going to target Shakespeare next, just like they target the Bible.
Well, you know, as we've been reading in the International Jew Study Hour programs, you know, we had a whole show once about, it was basically about, brought up quite a bit about Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice and how they have been going after that. Practically ever since it's been written, but certainly in modern days, they want to get it out. Let's say here in America, in the United States, they've really worked to get it not be read in the schools, to have it not be put on the stage, you know, and play. Just to absolutely blot it out. And there's a couple other Shakespeare plays they don't like, but this is the one they really hate because of this character Shylock, who is a Jew, and he says, well, I'll get to that. So let me just say first that, you know, the word, they're saying that the word Jew is a negative cultural stereotype. Well, actually, they're saying that connecting Shylock with Jew is a negative cultural stereotype. But actually, in the play, Shylock has a part where he gets right in the middle of the stage and says, "I am a Jew," you know. So, you know, but it's things like this that if there's a bad character like Shylock and he's a Jew, and they say that that's harmful to Jews and it shouldn't be allowed. And, they say, the Tribune News Service had to, issue an apology, and then another news service in LA, which also used that crossword puzzle, they also issued an apology. And, and Abe Foxman said that, it showed, to ask for that answer Jew to Shylock demonstrates cultural ignorance and an extreme lack of sensitivity. Now, where's the cultural ignorance, you know, because, it's culturally intelligent, but it's the Jews who insist on cultural ignorance by blocking out everything that doesn't make them look good. And it's not an extreme lack of sensitivity. They're the ones who are extremely lacking in sensitivity to everyone else, to say that they can't, you know, like they can't even enjoy that play.
Well, I guess I'm around the bend because I just laugh at it all now. I just laugh at it all. I've it's just, I know, you know, there's so many in the white right, and yourself included, that, you know.
No, but John, wait. I know people can laugh at it. I know the thing you can say is,
but it hurts. I know the bottom line.
It's not that it hurts. What I'm saying is, well, it hurts the cause, because this kind of thing, everybody caves into it. And the people who read all this say, we shouldn't do this, you know. We shouldn't use the word Jew. We shouldn't call Shylock a Jew, even though he calls himself a Jew. And this is just a part of the increasing indoctrination. I know you're not comfortable talking about Jews, so you don't.
I've been through so much. Spent half my life sitting on a tightrope, but I mean, that's why I admire you. You just come right out with it.
Well,
but of course
not?
I agree.
Because this is a part of the whole attack on our free speech and even on truth, on our culture, on all of our cultural things that they want to get rid of and change because they don't like it, you know.
I know.
Tan Stoffel talks about this a lot and very eloquently, and I'm so glad that he does the work he does. And it's this kind of work that he's doing that I think is very important for more of us to do, more people.
Well, I agree totally. I just don't have the guts you guys have.
Well, I don't know what it is. I think you've had a job and you've been a little worried about, you know what the rules of your job are, and if you
they nearly stripped me my license a year ago.
Yeah, so you have to be careful. But that's
but
all right.
Not after January. I'm not going to get locked up. But the thing is, you're filling that niche. I just go on about our peoples, but this has been refreshing to actually talk to you about my nervousness or whatever. You know, I'm not hiding from it. And what can I say? What you've said there about that Shylock thing is the absolute truth. Of course it's the truth. But where I laugh at them is, I don't see where the average Jew would think that just because of Shylock in one bloody play, that there's going to be a crystal knock or some damn thing. I mean,
well, no, but I'm saying, yeah, that's right. They don't, because I've got something here from one, Barry Edelstein, who's not just an average Jew, but he's a Shakespearean expert. Well, naturally, he would be more partial to Shakespeare then. And he puts on plays in some kind of a playhouse or something. He's well known, I guess, some people. And he did say that he doesn't agree with the crossword puzzle, that the crossword puzzle clue rises to the level of noxious anti-Semitism.
But yet you point out the problem. As you point out the problem, though, I mean, it makes people nervous to say anything, and I've probably been swept up in that net. And so if I get swept up in it with all the crap I've been through, I could see Joe Public. But sometimes I don't think Joe Public really is misled by them as much as they'd like to think. So I think Joe Public is just a bunch of meatheads. Maybe it's the food diet. But I mean, are they manipulated? Are they controlled? Yes, Jewish power structures certainly try and do that through the news media. But I just, all through history, the mob has always been idiots. They praise Caesar one day, and then they stab him in the back.
Yeah, but you're doing what some of us think is a mistake, to turn around and blame ourselves. I don't, you know, that's the easiest thing to do, and it can look like that's who should be to blame. But I've already said I don't think, I think that we've been the victims of this conditioning by Jews by the Jewish power structure since biblical times, really. And it's, as I said earlier, it's really increased in the last, say, 200 years. Well, Brad agreed with that. But the fact is that if we have to be so careful about what we say and what we write and so on, and that these organizations have to apologize. And yet when it comes to Jews and the ADL and so on, all their organizations, they never apologize.
Well,
so you see how they have it set up. And the ADL, the managing editor of the Tribune News Service felt compelled to make a statement, and including in it, she said the puzzle should not have been distributed with that clue, and we apologize for the offensive cause. The issue has been discussed with the creators and editors involved. So they've talked to their crossword puzzle creators and told them, no more of this, okay? So we don't want to be embarrassed again by the ADL. And this clue, she says, will not be used again in a Tribune Media Service crossword. So that's power, you know. That's expressing we are powerful over the rest of you, and nobody else can do that. If it were, nobody else cares about things like this, you know. Nobody else is searching crossword puzzles to see if they can find some.
Yeah, like Don there, your American compatriot stresses, you know, if we had a white advocacy group that had some power, we could do the same every time we're attacked. I think that's what Don's aiming at, that we also do the same when white people are being spit on, that we can protest.
Sure, but, you know, we don't do the same because we're not organized. We've never been organized the way they organize, and it's their organizational ability that they have had going on for since ancient times, too, that is
but they've had the same tribe to work with, whereas our different sub-tribes, whether it's German or British, Ukrainian, Polish, or whatever, there's always these little differences that have stopped us from getting together. There was a guy in Ohio, and I hope he listens to the show, John Gerhart of Columbus. He won't mind me using his name at all. And he had a white Confederacy thing going in the 70s. It was really good, how, you know, white European ascendancy or descendants could get together and work together and still keep your own specific sub-tribe identity. And he was really great at it. But, you know, Agent Provocateurs got in there and messed it up. But John's still alive, and anybody in your audience that knows about John Gerhart in Ohio, he's still out there and he writes some brilliant stuff.
Okay. Well, let me go on to another one because I've got two more. And then we can comment on this too, and see. And hello to John Gerhart. I used to know a John Gerhart. I don't know if this is the guy who worked with people in white folks in prison, white prisoners.
Yes, yes, that's John.
Is he the one? Okay. Well, yes. I used to communicate with him some. That was back in some of my earlier days.
Great. He's still out there.
he's a good guy. He is a very good guy, and seemed to be very devoted and worked very hard. And I knew a woman who worked with him, and I communicated with her some. That was when I had my first website. So things have kind of, my focus has kind of shifted and changed. Not very much, but just a little bit the way I go about things. And I didn't have programs then. Well, anyway, this story out of Warsaw from, you know, and, you know, it's only the Jews that write these things, that promote these stories from the Jewish Telegraph Agency. Anyway, in Poland, this is all Jews, you know, only of interest to them, basically. But they do it anyway. Their Jewish community protested that two recent decisions by Polish prosecutors not to pursue investigations into anti-Semitic incidents were wrong. So what happened was there were these two minor incidents, one in Bialystok, And the other one in Kielce, if that's how you pronounce it, both in Poland, little, you know, towns, cities in Poland, where some little incident happened, and the prosecutors said, well, it wasn't enough to launch a, you know, bring charges or launch an investigation. Here was where they are. One of them in April was some graffiti. They called it anti-Semitic. Well, it was seemed to be a swastika. Some swastika graffiti appeared somewhere. And the prosecutor declined to go any further in investigating it because he said the swastika was a symbol of good luck in Asia and therefore it was not unambiguously fascist. Well, they wanted this prosecutor to spend his time trying to find out who put a swastika somewhere. And half the time it's Jews doing it themselves. But anyway, the other one in Kielce was slurs, but this one is really good. What they called anti-Semitic slurs against a local businessman because online somebody called him a Jewish scoundrel. A Jewish scoundrel. Big, big deal. He is Jewish. Prosecutors decided that the term was used in a sarcastic and satirical manner. I mean, who's going to go after looking for, you know, somebody using those words online.
I mean, how often do you hear the term Christian crook? I mean,
nobody would care. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I'm saying these are the lengths to which they go. They complain about everything, and some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. But in this case, it says, both of these cases, Polish authorities, that means the higher Polish authorities, you know, overturned the initial decisions by these police investigators, and investigations are now proceeding into these two incidents. So that's what I mean, you see. They don't want to get in trouble with the Jews. It's easier to just go ahead and, you know, they think it is, and try to do something about it.
Well, it's like the Southern Poverty Law, Poverty Law Center building their empire on this crap.
Well, that's right. That you picked out the very right place to compare them to. And they said, and these Jews say that the reactions of these prosecutors originally, you know, who didn't want to prosecute these, were worrisome. And again, they come up with that. Oh, they were deeply concerned about these decisions of these prosecutors and you know, that they don't want to stop hate speech and fascist symbols and so on. As, you know, as though they're going to stomp that kind of thing out, and that's their intention. They're going to stomp every last vestige of it out in the entire world, and particularly in the European derived world. And that's what they're up to.
The summary word they used was worrisome. They always use those words, worrisome, and put a cloud. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to, you know, do this. Well, you're doing it on your show. I mean,
we need people like Brad Love, who just on his own says what he thinks and then stands up for himself and fights for himself.
Yeah, he's
and
a miracle.
They don't get enough of a fight. You see, right here, they go to the higher level. This is what Jews always do. They go beyond you to the higher level, and at the higher level, they're more aware, I guess, of the power of those powers that can come against them, and they don't want to be faced with it, so they just cave in. You know, we got to stop this caving in. Now, here's another one. Austrian artists revamp Nazi poet memorial. Well, what bothers me about this is this disingenuous way they go about this. Now, in Austria, in Vienna, and you know, Vienna, I know you don't like talking about Jews, John, but in Vienna, you know, most of the Jews in Austria live in Vienna. It's not that they're, you know, it's maybe 10% or something of Viennese are Jewish, but they, of course, if they're 10%, they wield a lot of power. So this memorial is in Vienna, and it's just, I've seen a picture of it. It's just a little stand in a park somewhere, with a head, you know, a bronze head on it. And it's the Austrian poet Joseph Weinheber. And it turns out that he is one of their greatest poets. But at the same time, he was, he liked the Nazis when they were in power. He didn't die until, 1945. Actually, he committed suicide in 1945. And he was, I think I looked it up, 52 or something like that, 54 or something like that. On this little memorial they have there, not a big one, there's no mention about his Nazi past. They just talk about, it's just, you know, honoring his literary contribution to his homeland. He was Austrian. And, as I said, he's recognized as one of the greatest Austrian poets of all time. So, so now these Jews, are not happy with this. So they have launched what they call an intervention. You know, when you are an addicted person, or, you know, when you've gone too far in some kind of, when your friends and family think you've lost touch with reality and you're going too far into a cult or something, or even, you know, into drinking or any kind of bad habit, they come up with something that they call an intervention, and the family, people, your friends get together and they get you in a place like, you know, at home, and all of a sudden they're there, and they force you to listen to them, and they talk to you, and they try to, you know, talk reason to you. And if you don't listen, they tell you they're sending you to a you know, to a rehabilitation place and so on, you know, and they're doing it for your own good. Yeah.
Yeah, with a lot of pills.
Yeah, but that's what, you know, they are actually, these people often do need this and they are actually helping them. But that's what these Jews are calling this. They're calling it an intervention. They want to recontextualize and reconfigure this monument, they say. So that they're gonna, and they're in the process of doing this, and it's headed by, a Jew from the Vienna Academy of Fine Arts, and they call themselves artists. So they're gonna, remodel this memorial in their own image, and they're gonna bring up, you know, and teach everybody about how this guy was a terrible Nazi, just because
Caroline,
he wrote good poetry.
You
know.
Really think, Caroline, do you really think, though, that the public, I don't know how to put it, follow all this? Like, I know you do. You feel the public does. I just think that a lot of the public could care less. They don't pay any attention to it.
It's not, now, wait a minute, John. It's not about pleasing the public or catering to the public. What I'm saying is that here you've got something, and you've got, they're going to change it. And so that the people that come along later, you know, are not going to be able to see this man just as a poet and look into him and find out about it. They're going to see him as being attacked and being discredited. You know how they do this Nazi stuff. And that's what it's going to be there from then on. So what they're doing, they change are what we can do in crossword puzzles. They want to say what kind of memorials we can have to our own people, artists, historians, or whatever, people who have, you know, have done outstanding work. They want to, what was this other thing? They want to say, what the police should be looking into. Just like Brad said, they've got all kinds of real crimes in his area where he lives, but they want the police to spend their time coming after him. And the same way with these people in Poland, the police have plenty of work to do, but no, they're supposed to waste their time chasing after somebody who the Jews think is showing, you know, is writing, placing swastikas on something. And
it'll boomerang on them all because of the groups that are showing up. They're just sick of all of it. The Joe public's sick of it all. That is the Joe public with brains that do listen in on the different radio shows and so on.
Well, as you said, the Joe public doesn't even know about this thing.
I try and pin it down to those who do listen to various shows, and they're slowly picking up, so there's a hope that Joe public will pick up. I mean, I can't say all Joe public. I guess I'm just trying to get at those that are listening and tuning in to the new shows that are coming along, so there's still hope because of the all these new shows. Sure, there should be 1,000 more, and as you had that great discussion.
Here's what I think. I think that we should, I've got this new idea now for a policy institute for research and so on. You're not the right person for me to talk about this too, but I'm talking to my listeners.
I agree with your approach.
Kind of institute for economic and policy. I got it from something called the Center for Economic and Policy Research. There's millions of those things. You know, Jews have hundreds of and thousands of these things.
Oh, I agree with your point there.
And I think we should have one that is devoted to doing research into the way we have been indoctrinated by Jews throughout our history and what it has resulted in. And we need to have this research going on continually and needs to be respectful. I mean, it needs to be by people who are good at it. And it needs to be then put out in to the news agencies and so on, just like any other of these kind of interests. Of course, they would be attacked and so on, but still, I think that would be a good idea. And I think something like that was actually made a legal entity, and there were people who were supporting it and were involved in it, and willing to use their names and so on in it. Although if you're a researcher, you could be a researcher without having your name used, but you'd have to have enough people functioning, you know, in the front of it to with using their real names.
Oh,
to
that's
make
a
it
good idea.
Respectful.
That's a great idea.
And we should be, and, you know, if we had if we had even one of these. We don't even have one of these things that I know. We just have individuals like,
well,
say, Ken Stoffel, you know, doing his work that he...
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got a circle. You've got a good circle. Listen, I think it's nothing to do with talk on Jews. But I thought I'll hang up because you
well, wait a minute. Don't hang up now because we've only got 2 minutes left.
I thought you'd like to summarize.
Yeah, no, but you have to stay on the line though, even if you don't say anything, because if you hang up now, I won't hear
I might not.
I'm not sure, but I think I will. I won't hear the break music.
No problem.
So okay, my last thing, and John, I want to thank you for calling in and staying on the line.
Thanks for letting me on.
Well, and then give your URL for your site.
British People's League with an S. No apostrophe, I don't like it. BritishPeople'sLeague.com, like a football league, a baseball league. BritishPeople'sLeague.com. But I do find people are finding the YouTube. It's all the YouTubes are on BritishPeople'sLeague.com. They're all linked there. But I also find if people just Google YouTube John Beatty, the YouTubes are coming up there. So that's very kind of you, Caroline, for sure.
Well, okay, you do a good job, John, and I appreciate everything about you. And I didn't mean to be putting you down. No. I'm not doing that at all, but it might sound like it sometimes. Okay, because everybody doesn't have to be saying the same things. Well, we've only got a few seconds left, so I want to say that I want to thank listeners for staying with this show today. Still, most of you were very faithful to it. And Brad Love, you know, he's coming up to this very interesting court date, July 11th and 12th. So I will find out about that, and I will let you know. And next Saturday, it's going to be, I hope, Gunter Deckert. So tune in then. And this is Carolyn Yeager signing off. Saturday afternoon, Carolyn on the White House.
Thanks for listening. And be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyager.com.